Good morning. I'm Auriel Miller. In fact, good afternoon. I'm Auriel Miller, Director of the IWA. Welcome to the last of our 2021 Media Summit events on what the future holds for S4C. Borada, Auriel Miller dwi, cyfarwyddwr sefydliad materion Cymraeg. Croeso I digwyddiad heddiw gydag S4C. For those of you who don't know us, the IWA is Wales's leading independent think tank, with a long track record of shaping debates and influencing change in Wales through policy research and advocacy. Our online and print publications, here's a copy of the latest edition of the Welsh Agenda, which provide platforms for robust comment and debate, as well as our agenda setting events. We're a membership organisation with members right across the country and much further afield too. We're funded by our members, the events we run ourselves, and independent trusts and foundations. You'll be able to catch up with our previous events on the state of play, skills for the future of the screen sector, and news and journalism in Wales via our website and our podcast channels very soon. We'll also be publishing our 2020 media audit, showing a snapshot of data about the media in Wales prior to COVID-19, as well as our media manifesto, setting out the more active role we think the Welsh Government should be playing in supporting Wales's media. In short, we want to see an ambitious strategy for Wales's creative economy with increased amounts of funding, smartly and transparently invested back into Wales's creative economy. We need to recognise the importance of a healthy creative sector to the civic and democratic role of the wider media. Secondly, we want to see a contestable fund for local news, whether online, in print, or on the air, to bolster a vital pillar of our democracy, which the market clearly no longer supports. We recognise the risks and challenges of a government directly supporting news, but we believe the time has come for a conversation about how this can be done in a way which preserves the media's independence. Third, Wales's government and political parties need to be a really clear and strong voice within the UK for modern broadcasting regulation, which addresses the ever-evolving challenges that social media has brought. And finally, a cohesive strategy for future skills in the media sector, one where we're clear what good looks like, improving diversity, security of employment, and meeting the increasing demands for more productions to be made in Wales off the back of our recent successes. We don't intend to design this manifesto ourselves from scratch. We intend to work collaboratively with partners across the creative and media sector to understand how devolved policy can complement the work they're already doing, where the challenges and risks are, and how to overcome them. So today's event and other events last week are about hearing from you and from experts in the sector to inform this ongoing work. Clearly, S4C have a key role to play in all of these ambitions, and I'm delighted to introduce journalist and broadcaster Gito Harry and Owen Evans, Chief Executive of S4C, for this conversation. This is a crucial time for S4C, as from April 2022 onwards, all of its public funding will come from the TV licence fee, and the discussion over the funding settlement for 2022 to 2027 is well underway. As we heard last week, public service broadcasters need to respond to shifts in both who the audiences are and how they consume content. The message was loud and clear that we should be talking about public service media rather than public service broadcasters. I'm interested to hear what this will mean for S4C. Throughout the Q&A, we'll be monitoring the chat room and the Q&A function on Zoom to pass your questions through to Gito. So please do tell us what you want to ask, either in Welsh or in English. We also encourage you, obviously, to chat and say hello to each other through the chat room too. Gito and Owen, over to you. Diolch yn fawr.
Diolch yn fawr iawn, Auriel.
Thank you very much, Auriel.
Give a clap before your guest speaker has even said anything. That's very generous and a sign of what a civilised organisation the Institute of Welsh Affairs is. Diolch yn fawr iawn I chi gyd.
Thank you very much, all of you, for joining with us this afternoon. Thank you for giving your time. Even in lockdown, there are other things that you could be doing. So we appreciate that so many of you are tuning in to hear about the future of our national channel here in Wales. The channel has been close to my heart forever. My late father was one of the wardens who were imprisoned in the 70s campaigning for the channel, and the channel, of course, is nearly 40 years old. There has always been significant times, key times in its history, but under any definition, I think that we are in an exciting time, but a challenging time for broadcasting in general, and specifically for Welsh media broadcasting. There are lots of challenges and opportunities, so I'm looking forward to hearing from Owen Evans. I was on the S4C Authority Board when we appointed Owen. It doesn't necessarily mean that I won't say anything nasty to him, but obviously I thought that he was a good choice to be chief exec. He's now 3 years into the job. Owen, as you may know, he has a background in government. He was very successful in that. He was at the top of the list, more or less, of civil servants in Wales. And also he's been in the private sector and in several other fields within that world. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him. The financial settlement is one thing in consideration today, of course. Changes in technology, changes in viewing patterns, changes in the nature of audiences, and a lot of things for us to consider. But I think, Owen, it's okay for us to start with, you know, what we can't avoid, unfortunately, is lockdown. COVID, the last year, a difficult period, but a very creative period. Has it been a successful period, if I can use that word specifically, for S4C? Well, first of all, it depends what you mean by success. It's been a difficult year for everybody. Nobody can say that it's been a year that you would have enjoyed. But in a need, there is a need, you see what's possible. When we moved to the Egin 2 years ago, I transformed the way in which we work. You know, we were a flexible body. So it was good when lockdown came in. I sent everybody home before lockdown because I wanted to make sure that everybody was safe. So operationally, of course, making sure that the signals going out is important, we did that. But there are a lot of things. Well, first of all, internally with regards to staff and externally with regards to the sector. So internally with staff, I did the same things as others have done, improved communication, making decisions straight away for everything. Also setting up an entertainment committee, making sure that people's mental health was looked after, and really having a discourse about how we were doing with the staff. But externally, two things happened. First of all, I think the decision right at the outset was go out to the audience and tell them that we are here for you. And to get that relationship that S4C can have with its communities, to say, we are here, we want to understand how you feel and what do you want from us. And that's a role of a PSB or a public service media broadcaster, really. So we went from being, you know, I'm sure that you've been to many of these sessions in maybe village halls where you have 80 people coming out there to talk about the channel. We moved to do Facebook Lives in March. And usually, you know, we had about 10,000 people watching those sessions, which has been significant, really. And through those sessions, we actually commissioned things. One of the first sessions that we had somebody from Carmarthen saying that they couldn't go to chapel on a Sunday morning. Fine, within 2 weeks, we had a service on a Sunday morning. So that's just an example of how we've listened to audiences. We've chosen box sets to go up and click based on what they've said. And hopefully, you know, we've brought things closer to them. Another thing that was important we could see from the outset was that S4C is at the core of the industry in Wales. Research has showed that we keep the sector going throughout the year. You know, we get these big productions that come in and out, but we keep things going during the year. And, you know, remember the date, you know, or remember those dark days when lockdown came in. The majority of the sector were really concerned about how we could continue, how could we live through this as an industry. And that's one of the things that very quickly that we did at the beginning was we launched a commissioning round within 3 weeks of the first lockdown. First of all, yes, a lot of things stopped. We had drama, sport coming to an end, a lot of filming work finishing. So, you know, we thought, well, we have to go out there to create new content to be broadcast. And we had good things coming out of that, things like Sgwrs Dan y Lloer. But also, we thought that it was important to go out to say we are here, we are open for business, and we're going to pump cash into the economy to make sure that companies can continue to work so that people get paid and that there's still a buzz out there. Now, that wasn't easy, and I'd like to thank the sector and all of our partners for what they did to keep things going. How much of a knock was it, Owen, to lose things like sport, which is the backbone of the channel in general, to the reach, you know, the large events, Eisteddfodau, the events, of course, that bring in large audiences and different audiences, and that knock to drama and plays? You know, I know you've worked hard over the last 3 years to try to put drama on the map for S4C. Oh, yes, it was a huge knock, no doubt about it. But you have to look at what we can do instead. So when we didn't have dramas, we had packages about things that have happened to the drama world. But for 4 months on S4C, Wales didn't lose a game, because that's all we did, was we basically showed the games that we had won over the last few years. But there was a huge knock with regards to reach. But you asked about success earlier on. One of the measures of success is the viewers, of course, how many people watch us over the UK. Over the last year, our peak hours have gone up, and our reach is around where it was last year. So when you think about, you know, the reach of sport, which, you know, without all of the sport, you know, we've lost all of that. S4C's reach has maintained over the year. But part of that story, one of the things that has grown significantly over the last year is the digital world. Last month, we had the best ever month of people viewing us through Facebook. Click has gone up 50% over the last year. People who watch the programs through Click, Hansh, our youth service. Last March, we had over 1 million people watching for the first time ever. So digital has been growing and growing. And things like when you dial in to Click, when you sign in to Click, it's important because we learn about those viewers and how we can target them. And those subscribers had grown significantly up to 180. So to show the success, to me, maybe what I'm most proud of is that we've improved our relationship with the audience. We've listened. We've truly tried to think, how can we be there for them? A lot of companies, of course, have been forced to try to revolutionize their digital provision, something that would have taken a decade or something before. COVID has created a digital strategy for a lot of companies overnight because there was an enforcement. Is there too much of comfort in what you're saying of this audience? Because if everybody is locked up and not being able to leave their homes to socialize and it's cold outside, doesn't that create an easier audience to reach? So there's less to celebrate and more to expect of you under these circumstances? Well, yes and no. Yes, of course, because, you know, dark, damp evenings, you know, it's great for a broadcaster because people tend to be home watching. But one of the things that we've seen in the last few years is the competition out there. So we've got SVODs, Netflix, Prime, and so on. Everybody have upped their game. So I did a focus group this week listening to 25 to 45 year olds. And, you know, these people dial into Netflix in the evening and they just binge and they just watch whatever they want to see. And there's two things, I think, shifting quicker than expected during COVID. First of all is, you know, the competition with SVODs. People want to be entertained. People want to see entertainment, drama, films, and so on. The SVODs are doing really well. But also there's the growth in the user-generated content, things that you're seeing on YouTube. That's grown as well. So on one side, we've got the SVODs, you know, looking at who's viewing, and then you've got YouTube starting to feed in, especially with young people, and S4C has to compete against both to make sure that all of the audience know that there's a purpose for us. And is S4C holding its ground? Where is it at the moment with its audience? Well, we are growing. I think that we are the only public broadcaster in the UK over the last 2 years, who has seen the numbers of people viewing increasing. So that's fantastic. But to the future, I think the most important thing is that we are seeing a huge growth in the digital services that we've been offering. But we're saying, well, this is the beginning. We've been, you know, working hard for 3 years, but there's a lot more to come, because we have to make sure that S4C will do the job that we were created to do, which is to make sure that the Welsh language continues. So young people and people our age maybe are important, but of course we would never you know, forget the older generation who fought for S4C. Yes, when you have the new president of America starting the job at 78, we feel a bit younger, perhaps. But a lot has changed since the start of the 80s. It was a channel back then in a less competitive world. How do you think of S4C now? To what extent is it a channel, or are you just a content commissioner for different platforms? And for how long does it have a future as a linear channel? Well, first of all, you know, people say, oh, the channel will disappear in the next 5 years. Well, it won't. People are still using the main channel, but the way in which people use the channel will be different. What we've seen in lockdown is that fewer people are watching the channel. More people are watching it through iPlayer and Click, and that will continue. So the percentage of linear viewers will reduce year on year, I think, over the next few years. But where do these people go? What we need to do is to make sure that they do watch our content. Sometimes that means commissioning different forms of content in different genres in order to understand, okay, well, if you don't want to go there, what do you want to watch? So the dramas are becoming more important, films are potentially becoming more important, but things that we have trialed have succeeded, things like short form, they've worked for us. So yes, the linear channel will still be important, maybe as a shop window for live programs, but more and more of marketing and messaging will be around trying to shift people to view through Click, through iPlayer, through the new platforms, Facebook and so on, and even TikTok as an example. We've got about 50,000 people viewing our content through TikTok every month. So you've heard me say it privately in the authority meetings in the past, I can say it publicly now, but why are you still measuring in the most archaic way, through having boxes in how many homes, audiences who then register, sometimes literally as if nobody has been viewing. It's made a huge it's been, you know, bad news really for viewing figures. So why don't you leave those archaic measuring ways? Well, first of all, I remember there's a phobia with regards to the fact that nobody was viewing S4C's programmes. Things have moved on. We've got a relationship with Sky, Virgin and so on, which shows that people are viewing every programme. So that zero that we heard about years ago, it's just not true. But how many noughts are there? Are we talking about double figures, treble figure, 5, 6? Well, it depends on what programme it is. But what it does, it reinforces your point that the BARB statistically just doesn't work. You know, the sample is so small, it just does not work. Now, the only reason, I mean, I'll be honest now, is that we use BARB, of course, because we do raise about £1 million every year by advertising on the channel. And that's important to a small channel like us. But through BARB, of course, you've got advertisers and so on using the service. Now, in the future, there'll be diminishing returns for that investment in BARB. So I do see a time in the future where we will move away from BARB, possibly, to look at the type of measures that we have around digital reach and so on. A lot of that digital growth comes from away from the geographical boundaries in Wales. I mean, I'm viewing in London, people across the world are viewing. Has that encouraged you to think of the channel in a different way, less perhaps about traditional audiences sitting in their homes in Welsh-speaking villages, to thinking of these Welsh speakers who live across the world, maybe raising their children in Welsh? Well, yes, because we are thinking about how can we market to these people. We saw more growth in the UK than in Wales over the last 3 years, which has been fantastic. But we have to go back to what they're viewing and why do they come back to S4C. And very often, it's a temptation for this to be worldly with our content. But ultimately, people want to see programmes which have been based in Wales about Welsh people. But ultimately, people want to see stories, dramas, entertainment that have been based on Welshness. So we will never move away from that. But the fact that we can now reach out to this worldwide audience, that's important. It's great. But also, it's made us think, yes, we still commission to our communities, but now our communities live in Wales and beyond, but they are also digital communities who want to find out what's happening in Wales. Are you ambitious enough in that field? I know that there are Welsh Language Commission programmes. Some others then have been huge successes on the networks, the English networks here. Some series, Byw Celwydd, for example, I enjoyed it because it was political. It was sold to the USA, a political thriller sold to the place that gave us House of Cards. That's nearly like selling ice cream to an Eskimo. But are you ambitious enough for that potential that's out there in the creative sector, selling things energetically and ambitiously in order to raise funds as well as putting the channel on the map? I hope so. I always think that we can do more. But last year, or the year before even, when we could do things like this, we launched S4C Originals. Now, we've suffered in the past, is that we've made partnerships with BBC, for example, and people think, you know, S4C as a brand is so small to compare with their brand. We drown in it. So we launched S4C Originals 2 years ago in a conference, the MIP conference in Cannes. And the purpose of that was exactly what you're saying, was to get the message out there. This is a produce from Wales. And it's been great to see. This year, we had our first series on Amazon Prime. And we hope that there'll be good news on things like that in the next few weeks about other new series. But we have sold the S4C formats to Channel 4, Channel 5. We've sold produce to the BBC. We have, to be fair, over the last few years, we have nurtured a reputation across the world, meaning that people understand. I was in Cannes, remember those days when you could actually go to Cannes a year and a half ago? I had a meal in the evening, a chat with a couple of people who sat near us. They didn't know what we did. They asked where we were from, and I said, oh, we're from Wales. Usually you hear, oh, John Toshak, Shirley Bassey, Tom Jones. But they said, oh, Christ, bang, that's Wales, isn't it? And, you know, for the first time, I mean, these people weren't in the television world, but I was really proud to hear that people actually could see that S4C had a role, you know, to take Wales out there to the world and showcase it to the world. Do you think that people understand that and realise that? Because we've heard, you know, so much of the pain, really, about, you know, the competition is so fierce across the world. And then if you look at something like Netflix, what it shows is that you can make a program on a bunch of fat, sweaty men in an old town in a place that people will never see, killing each other, calling it Narcos, and then selling it across the world. And if you can do that, people could sit in Wales, in English, watch it in Spanish. They don't understand Spanish, perhaps, but that's opened doors to Welsh media broadcasting that wasn't there 20 years ago. You could never imagine watching something with subtitling. Do you think people have realized the opportunities that there are out there? There's no reason, I don't think, why Wales couldn't do better than anywhere else in the world in such a climate. Well, funding is always an issue with these things. But it's a way of generating income, isn't it? Because some of these new companies have deep pockets and have more money than some of the traditional companies here, even the BBC. Yes, I think especially the Scandies, they have changed a lot of things. Of course, Netflix have picked up on that. It's lovely to see that some of the noir dramas that we have created have sold to Scandies. So it means that we can do things as good as they can. But one of the sessions that I wanted to try to do in the film festival in Edinburgh was something about why language isn't that important anymore. But there's more and more of a chance, and that's why we launched S4C Originals in Cannes, to show that Welsh produce is of a good standard and is as good as a lot of the things, other things that are produced out there. So we have good stories to tell. One of the things that S4C can do on behalf of the sector and on behalf of the country is to give a significance for us to work together. We've been working with ALBA and Tidhg Har in Ireland to come together in the ways that a lot of these Scandi countries, for example, do, so that we can put more of an emphasis on Celtic content and use each other to show more and more about the talent that we have. Now, all of this, of course, is, raises the question that goes around, and it's a headache for any chief exec and any authority, that question of funding the service. You've started the discussions, we've seen letters that have been going back and forth. What are your expectations? Do you expect big cuts? Do you expect a continuation of the current trend, or are you going to be going to ask for more money in these discussions? One of the contentious issues when I came in to S4C was that I wasn't going to ask for more cash, and I was criticised for that at the start. The reason why I said that was the relationship between S4C and the government in England at the time meant that there was no point asking for more money. They expected us to go up to London with a cap in hand asking for money. What I wanted to do was to transform the relationship that we have with officers and with politicians so that they understand that we do good things and that we can cope, but we can do better and more. Now, as we think of the new world and what we've been doing over the last few years, we are turning into a legacy broadcaster to becoming a public sector media. We are genuinely doing this. But I don't know how many of you saw what Mark Thompson has been saying about transforming times. For every pound he spent on content through journalists, he spent £2 on the technical equipment, the platforms and so on that needed to be done. So this time we will be ambitious. We are going to be arguing for more funding, because I believe, of course, we will be repartnering. I think that there's an opportunity for us to truly grow and invest into the digital world of the next few years. And what's completely different is, yes, we are funded by the license fee completely from 2022 onwards. But what's important is that the agreement is a five-year agreement, where until now we've been arguing on a yearly basis, an annual basis for our funding. I'm quite proud, since I've been in S4C, we haven't had any cuts. But this is the next step now for us to show to DCMS and to tell the politicians with all of our partners that we have ideas, we have an ambition, but also we have the skills to operate it. Are you concerned that ultimately the BBC will take over the funding? A lot of funding's coming through iPlayer. You're doing these discussions in line, side by side with BBC's discussions. Are you worried that you may ultimately become a division of BBC? No, to be fair to the politicians in every country, everybody understands how important the fact that S4C is independent is, and it gives a different voice. We are the only broadcaster, public broadcaster, that's Welsh ultimately. And I think that keeping that, maintaining that unique Welsh voice is really important. Now, to be fair, the politicians that I deal with understand that there's no argument about that independence of S4C. And as I said just now, in the discussion about finance and funding for the next few years, one of the things I was concerned about is that I'd be a subset of what was discussed by the BBC. And we had confirmation from DCMS a few months ago. No, the discussion of the process of discussing with S4C will be separate to that of BBC. couple of questions coming in from the audience. One from Owen Williams. If S4C was established for the first time today, how would that look? What can we learn from that? Good question. A question we ask ourselves, actually. What we have is we're really good at engaging with our older audience, that historic audience who viewed S4C. That means your 65 plus audience, like BBC and other people. You know, the percentage who are viewing from that age group is really high. And one of the things that I've been researching in the last year is we have to remember that the purpose of S4C is to make sure that the Welsh language prospers. Now, the language patterns of the country is changing. The percentage of people who live in houses or homes who only watch S4C because everybody in the home or household speaks Welsh, that's reducing. And where we are seeing more growth is where you've got one person, one Welsh speaker in the homes. And the challenge for S4C is that we can have content that'll be on catch-up, not on linear, but the problem, well, it's not a problem, but something for us to think about is because historically we were created to be on linear only, a lot of the people now expect that type of service that we have been providing over the last few decades. And it's unclear as, well, maybe we'll, you know, we'll ask for more funding. I don't know if we'll have enough, but it's, you know, there may be less, there must be less investment in linear and more resources going to attract these audiences to digital. We have to make sure that we make sure that we do that for the language to continue. So the question Owen's asking, and the big question that S4C has been trying to fight over the last few years is how do we back both horses and how do we keep everybody happy? That's always the challenge, keeping everybody happy. And I think that we have to be clear where our targets are for the next few years to grow this market, you know, these people who are living in these houses with several languages being spoken, but as much as we can, of course, making sure that we have something to offer to the core viewers as well. So we have more questions here. One from me, when you're talking about backing both horses, is S4C in a position where sometimes money is spent on or wasted on things that you could argue that you don't need click because you have iPlayer? You are about to establish a news service in S4C, although you've got things like that in on ITV and BBC as well in Wales. Is there money wasted on duplication, perhaps? Well, I'll deal with both issues separately, if I may. I'm from Ceredigion and I'm very careful and prudent with funding. We're having a huge service, a huge discussion on iPlayer. It's doing a good service to us at the moment. But the problem we'll have with iPlayer, which is important in the future, is that we don't get that core data of who is viewing. Now, one of the reasons why I invested in improving Click service and putting more content on Click is that the data that I can collate from Click means, first of all, I understand what people are viewing and what they enjoy. And secondly, what are the types of programs they view so that I can market more appropriately to them rather than just putting things out to the masses. And I think that that one-to-one relationship with the viewer is going to be essentially important in the future if we are going to attract them to our programs. So to us, the fact that iPlayer doesn't give us the data is a problem. Also, of course, the BBC's algorithm tends to take you, if you view a Welsh medium drama, it'll take you to a drama of any language. So that doesn't help either. With regards to news, I do believe that it can be a problem in Wales. And I remember when I came into S4C, you know, there was quite a bit of attention on the news. But since the time that I've been here, we've got six journalists working for S4C. We have a head of news. And what I've seen, especially during COVID, I was thinking, okay, well, what do people want on S4C? And what they wanted really, really hyper local news, modern news, and true news, of course. And during COVID, just to give an example of whether people find a value in this, The amount of people who are using our news service online went up 180% because of COVID. But the moment that I started to hire our own journalists to repackage and to work and to get new content going out to the audience, the amount of people viewing the news service on digital on Facebook went up 600%. So I think that as a public broadcaster in Wales, we have a role to have a different voice to what BBC are doing, although BBC do a good service, but also there is a role also to make sure that those stories that may not be given the platform needed, that S4C has a role to make sure that we do tell those local stories. There's a specific question here from Rhys Owen about news. Well, two questions. How does the standard of a news report of the BBC compare with what is reported on Wales Today? And also, are you happy with the amount of broadcasting of news that you do? And if not, is this a financial issue where more money would help? Well, more money always helps, of course. There's no doubt about that. I think that the news programme is very good. I would say that it's at least as good as Wales Today, certainly. I would definitely say that. Is it better? Well, Wales Today is a very good programme. Newyddion is very good. I'll just leave that there. Very diplomatic of you. One of the things that I have been working with Ger, who's running our news service, I've been working with him over the last 12 months. We've been looking at what are the steps that we need to take to make sure that we give the best possible service. I had ITN in about a year ago, because I don't know how many of you understand, they do the Channel 4 service, Channel 5 service. I got them in to do a survey about what a good news digital service would look like for Wales, and based on their report, I've been investing in journalists and on platforms where more news will be coming from us about the way that, you know, we'll be taking steps with news in the next few months. I was glad to see that we've published the work that we've been doing with Golwg. I don't think it was a role for S4C to do everything alone. We need to work with existing partners. But I think that news is important for PSBs, PSM, whatever you want to call us. Because if a body like S4C can't convey a service that is unique to a great extent and truly brings the story of the country to the public, then there will be questions about our existence. A question from Richard Martin. Will the future of S4C look more things like radio, podcasts and so on, like a Welsh version of BBC, or will it be a content creator? I mean, we touched upon this earlier on, but does that help to maybe convey the direction? Yeah, it'll be more about the second model that you mentioned. We're still working. I mean, BBC are a big partner to us. You know, if something is good, why would we compete with it? But what you will see is the internal model that we are changing from a day-to-day basis is moving from commissioning on a linear basis to commissioning in different ways. So we now commission programs, as you know. We also commission short-form clips. We also commission podcasts, and we are linking more things. I mean, if we have core drama material, we'll have podcasts around that. We'll have social media content. It's the same with sport. So everything on a day-to-day basis ties together better, and that's where we need to restructure the way that S4C works, but also the sector. A question from Gareth Williams, the new chair of the BBC, said that the licence fee is the least worst way of funding the corporation. Is that true for S4C also? To some extent, yes. In the main, the licence fee, it's an aggressive tax. That's not perfect, but S4C has been funded in different ways. We were funded, if you remember, out of the allowance, the advertising allowance of other PSBs. Years ago, we have been funded by block grants from the Home Office. We are now, as a hybrid, the licence fee, and next year we will be solely the licence fee and not government funded. So it's not perfect, but one of the things, I mean, as somebody who used to work in government, I always ask, okay, why do we exist and why does the government fund us? And it comes back to market failure, because for Welsh language produce, the market's not going to pay for something the size of S4C. And if we decide that we need a service like that, then the government should fund it. How? I do agree with Richard. Looking at all of the options, subscription, where does universal obligation come into it with subscription? It just doesn't work. So the only way that does work, and you know the reason why it hasn't been changed in the past, is the license fee. What about this idea of devolving broadcasting to Wales so that you could be discussing, rather than with Oliver Dowden, DCMS in London, about our future, discussing with our Welsh politicians and having the funding directly from Cardiff? Well, first of all, we are part of the ecosystem in Wales, of course, already. We regularly discuss with David Ellis-Thomas. We are part of the committees. We make sure that we are part of that ambition of having a million Welsh speakers and so on. So it's not a system where we just go to Westminster and that we don't focus on Wales. There are advantages and disadvantages of both systems, especially how the world is changing digitally and it's becoming more worldwide now. But I mean, we would work under whichever order that it would be, but I think that there are advantages and disadvantages to both. But is it odd trying to have an English person running a department in Whitehall, Oliver Dowden, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer? But maybe recognition of the Welsh language and Welsh culture isn't on the list of what they understand. I mean, you don't even discuss with Simon Hart. He's not even on the correspondence at the moment. Is that strange? Well, you work with what you've got. So we work with Simon Hart, obviously, in the same way that we work with David Ellis-Thomas. The relationship with Oliver is good, and John Whittingdale as well. Mishi Sunak, to be fair, he announced assistance to us because we had a problem with that a while ago, and he saw in the statement that the S4C was an integral part of the Welsh system. So you have to work with what's in front of you, and we've made sure that we are in the right places and that the correct messages are given in those places. There's a question here from Lena Farhat. S4C has a bright future, she says, and I hope that it'll become more representative of the people of Wales. What steps are taken by the new inclusion and diversity officer that you have just appointed, of course? How important is that, and what steps can we see following her remit? Well, thank you. Yes, I do agree that we've got a bright future, but I wasn't happy. I mean, I think that S4C, I think that we should be a mirror of our audience, and the audience has changed in Wales, and we have to be just as relevant to somebody from Ammanford, who is Indian, or somebody, you know, of a white background from Aberystwyth. So we've been doing things like everybody else over the last few years, but I didn't think we were making enough progress. So Nia Edwards-Behe joined us last week. So she's the first ever diversity and inclusion officer for S4C. And before this session, I did the weekly staff session that I do every week. And Nia presented in that session an hour ago. So what she's been doing recently is that she's been discussing with commissioners about their plans and how they will be changing diversity in front of the screen and behind the screen. And also we will be establishing an internal committee to try to make sure that we understand what the challenges are. Now, what I'd like to see is just that we become a mirror, that we can respond to what's in front of us in the country, and that there's an opportunity for everybody you to be part of it. When I come into the sector, you know, a lot. We understand that people, lots of people, are related to each other, and one of the things that I wanted to see is more social mobility, because I think it's important. I don't want to raise this, but when we talk about a situation where funding is scarce, where you can work from anywhere, you can commission flexibly, the audiences are outside of Wales as well. Of looking back at that, was it a silly move, really, to put so much funding and resources and energy and focus in moving from one physical large headquarters to a new headquarters in Carmarthen? Was that a waste of creative energy that should have been focused on all of the things that we've been discussing over the last hour, rather than buildings? I think that we've been fortunate in a way. If you think about it, what we've learned over the last 9 months is that ivory towers, large offices with many people in them, they are a thing of the past. The way in which people work and the way in which we will work in the future will be different. Now, where we have moved to in Carmarthen, at Egin, which is much smaller to what we had in Cardiff. And one of the things that I invested in, as I said at the beginning, in doing that move, we invested and we thought, okay, we're going down 70 miles to Carmarthen. We had a fantastic welcome, but we have to work differently. This isn't just lift and shift exactly what we are doing here to what we are doing over there. And that's why I did invest in a lot of work with staff about these new flexible ways of working, the type of things that we have all coped with during the last year. But we started on that journey 2 years ago. So what I would say is that we were, well, maybe through fate, we were right in the front. We now have a smaller office, which is being remodeled as I speak today, in order to create more space for people to meet as teams rather than just having desks, and that's positive. And the fact that in S4C we have a base in Cardiff, Carmarthen, and Carnarvon, that's important to me, because ultimately we are a broadcaster for the nation, and we have to show that we do invest in the country in the same way that we do with our content. Owen, that's the end of the question, and I think that we've covered a lot. So thank you very much for your time and for speaking honestly with us. And I hope that everybody has appreciated the discussion and the explanation of the strategy. And one final question from me, as somebody who presents a political programme. What will be the aim of the channel with regards to the important elections that we've got in Wales? And as somebody who's seen within Tŷ Hywel and the Senedd, as well as outside, do you believe that there will be a change for the first time in the pattern in Wales that we've only had one party leading us? I don't have a crystal ball. It's a very interesting time. We say this every time, that things are going to change. You know, Labour's been there for a while. The other parties have seen a growth. But politics is a funny thing. And as both of us know, things can change like that. So we'll have to see what happens. It'll be an unprecedented election, of course, with COVID. And I don't know how that will impact it yet. But it will be interesting. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you all for viewing. And thank you for the Institute of Welsh Affairs. Over to you now, Oriel. Thank you.